In the backfield, Crowell. Second down goal. They give it to the Crow. He bangs away. Down to the one. Down to the goal line. Touchdown! His second of the day!
Well, it's amazing what a little running game can do for you, Craig. And maybe some defense as well.
How can it be? What happened?
Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram joins us to answer that question. Where did this running game come from, Scott?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I don't know. The Browns stayed a change at left guard. Austin Pastor filled in for rookie Cam Irving that was filling in for Joe Bitonio, and he seemed to make a difference. And the Browns lost their fullback, so they went with more three-receiver set and kind of spread out the defense and were able to find something there. Mike Pettine said they liked the matchup, and they sure were able to exploit it.
Do you think we'll see it again?
Well, I'm sure they'll try, but I'll tell you, this goes for everything. This goes for Johnny Manziel and the offense and the defense and the pass rush. The competition gets a lot harder coming up. The Browns go to Seattle. They go to Kansas City. They come home for Pittsburgh. You're looking at three teams that are right in the playoff mix. I don't think the run game – if the run game can keep up against Seattle and Kansas City, then they're on to something.
You know, I think the Browns kind of – I was telling Craig earlier, they sort of needed this game. Or in a sense, I mean, they talk about the competition and the 49ers, where they are. But you play any team you get – to get a victory like this, I get, does add a lot to the locker room. What was it like after the game?
Well, yeah, I mean, guys, you know, I think relief. You know, it started with Coach Mike Pettine and then it went on to veterans like Paul Kruger and Desmond Bryant and even Joe Thomas, who said, you know, he almost forgot what a win was like. It was a long time. It was October 11th, the last time they won a game. That's 2 months ago. And for them to come out and get a long-awaited win just makes everybody kind of be able to take a breath. You know, and there's so much talk about people getting fired and losing jobs and big picture stuff that at least the win quiets that for a little bit.
You know, Johnny has had some, you know, pretty nice performances in a way in terms of putting up numbers. But yesterday, they actually found a way to put up points on the scoreboard, and maybe that signals a change. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the run game helped. If you look, you know, two of the touchdowns came on short runs, and those drives were set up by long runs. But then he did have one long touchdown drive to win the game, to put the game away in the second half. It was still only 10-3, even though the Browns felt like they were in control. It was only a one-touchdown game. And at the end of the third quarter, Johnny made a series of big throws. You know, he hit Brian Hartline in a deep out, and he beat the blitz with a quick throw to Barnage. He stepped up in the pocket, hit Barnage again, the tight end. And then he made a good play on the short touchdown pass. So you saw him, when he needed to, put a touchdown drive together. And, you know, 24 points isn't a ton in today's NFL. But it was more than enough yesterday. And we, again, saw growth in Johnny Manziel. And it's two straight starts for him that we've seen big growth out of him.
And he obviously gets frustrated with certain things, as we as viewers will see. They'll show a wide-open guy that he missed or somebody else as well. But that's part of the growing pains, I would think, to actually have that. It's one thing to have that in practice, but to do that in a game and realize how bad it felt, you don't want to do it again, is something that could signal an improvement.
Yeah, I mean, he knew right away, which is, you know, one of the keys to not making the same mistake again, that you recognize that you made a mistake. And, you know, a little side note, maybe that's different than off the field where he seems to make same mistake multiple times. But he knew right away he'd made it. Now the key is, will he not make it again? You know, the next time he's rolling out to his left or scrambling to his left, which will come because he still likes to scramble, will he, you know, kind of narrow his focus and not look back to the right? And he got duped into that. Brian Hartline's running like, hey, I'm open. Well, there's no way that ball was going to get, whatever, 40 yards across the field without somebody from the 49ers getting there. So sometimes you just got to be smart, throw it away, or, you know, go for a check down on your side of the field without bringing an interception into play.
Bright, you mentioned Brian Hartline. He left the game yesterday, has a broken collarbone, so the Browns are down another receiver. Terrell Pryor saw some action, but I guess he wasn't targeted. Do you think this will get Dwayne Bowe off the bench?
Maybe. No, I don't even think that's a given. I really don't. You have, you know, you still got Travis Benjamin, who's healthy. Taylor Gabriel practiced this week for the first time since his concussion, so I think he'll be back in the rotation. Marlon Moore's been playing a lot more. I think they want to see what Pryor can do, and they have Darius Jennings. I still think that Dwayne Bowe is probably on the outside looking in.
One other injury-related question for you, Scott, and it doesn't have to do with the Browns per se, but the Cincinnati Bengals lost Andy Dalton yesterday, and he could be out for a while, maybe a season-ending injury. How much of an impact will that be on their team and their playoff hopes?
Well, you would have to think it's huge. You know, the thing is, A.J. McCarron, his backup, has barely played because Andy Dalton, I don't think he's missed a start in 4 years, and this is a sixth year, that he's been in the league. So you just have A.J. McCarron is such an unknown commodity. You know, his numbers were good yesterday after he filled in for Dalton. They had to throw a bunch, so I think he finished with 300 yards. But it's a giant mystery, and it's such a blow for a team that really looked poised to make a Super Bowl run. Now, we don't know exactly how long Dalton's going to miss, but to me it changes the whole scope of the AFC playoffs. You know, they look like they were headed for maybe the number one seed. Now they're not even guaranteed to win in the division. They're going to have to win another game, likely without Andy Dalton, and we don't know if that's going to happen. So, you know, if I were betting, I would not bet the Cincinnati Bengals to go to the Super Bowl. And I might have said differently, you know, 24 hours ago.
We're talking to Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram. The story in the Chronicle as well about Phil Dawson returning. You know, we spent many of the years with the Browns. Then they did a sort of special tribute to him. I thought that was kind of a nice thing for them to do. But maybe there's an ulterior motive, you know, with a kicker. It's all about emotion. Maybe they're trying to play into his emotions for that particular day.
Yeah, I don't think that was it. But it was certainly a good thing for the Browns to do. I wasn't sure that they would pay Phil any tribute. He deserved it. He tried, you know, he said he was fighting his emotions. He just kind of touched his heart. And waved to the crowd, really understatedly. You know, he's one of the best guys, not best players and best guys to come through this franchise. I got to run into him in the hallway as we were going back upstairs after the game, and he stopped to talk for a while. You know, he really appreciated it. He appreciated the crowd. You know, and the guy's not done. And, you know, I think it'd be kind of nice if we saw him back in Cleveland next year. The Browns have a young kicker, but he's struggling to kick the ball over the lineman's head right now. So I live with Phil for another year next year.
Right. Were there two of those yesterday? I lost count. I kept seeing – was I seeing a replay?
It's one in three straight games that's been blocked. Okay. He made a short field goal and then made a couple extra points, even though the protection wasn't great. But that missed field goal, I mean, he just kicked it so low, it had no chance.
Well, the Browns are now heading off to Seattle. And that'll be kind of a different from playing the 49ers. What can we expect going up against the Seahawks this coming Sunday?
Well, I mean, the first thing that jumps in my mind is we're going to get, we keep talking about the evaluation period of Johnny Manziel. We're going to get a good evaluation of him on the field. And it starts with the Seattle team that's been to two straight Super Bowls. Its defense isn't what it used to be. You know, I mean, it was the defense carried them to the Super Bowls the last couple of years. Now Russell Wilson, the quarterback, is doing it. But it's still a stiff challenge. And we get to look at Russell Wilson, a guy similar size to Johnny, thicker. I think he's got a little bigger arm, but similar skill set, similar size. And we've seen him develop into a top 10, top 12, top 8 quarterback. And he makes it work, the combination of staying in the pocket and getting outside the pocket. And he's a great blueprint for Johnny on the field, off the field. So I think it brings up a lot of storylines. The fact is, it's going to be a really tough matchup for the Browns. Seattle's playing great. I think they won 4 in a row. You know, they're trying to get in the playoffs. They're trying to build momentum as they get into the playoffs. It's a long trip. It's a loud stadium. There's a whole lot of challenges. So I think this will be a good test for the Browns.
You made an interesting point about the fact that it's similar to Johnny in stature and somewhat. So when he's on the sideline, he can kind of see sort of how it's done from somebody who's, you know, taking their team to a higher level. So maybe he can pick up some pointers along the way, but that's just part of the experience of playing the game, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you talk about, can Johnny be a franchise quarterback? Can he be your long-term starter? We point to guys like Russell Wilson and New Orleans' Drew Brees, because those guys are 6 foot, or a Shane Hunter 6 foot, just like Johnny, and they've had success. Well, how do they do it? Well, they work harder than anybody else. They're smarter than anybody else, and they're able to find those windows inside the pocket and slide a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of nuances that go on, and, you know, Johnny's doing a much better job of that the last couple times he's played, but obviously he's not where those guys are. But that's what you have to go, okay, this is what he has to do. The problem with that is there's such a small sample size of guys that size who have success nowadays, you know, that a whole lot of stuff needs to go right for you to be 6 feet tall and win in this league, which is why Johnny needs to be perfect on so many levels, on the field and off the field. And obviously he hasn't gotten to that place where Drew Brees and Russell Wilson are.
Well, at least this week will be a little bit better for us as we out doing our Christmas holiday shopping with the Browns' victory over San Francisco. But we look forward to the game against the Seahawks this coming Sunday. Our guest today, Scott Petrek with the Chronicle-Telegram. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon. Thanks,
folks.